Hello, everyone. This is YouthCast, and I'm Molly Adams. My worst memories of growing up and being a young person are from when I was in middle school. And I think I actually knew this at the time that I was in middle school. I think it was the only way I survived. This is the worst it will ever get. And it is an incredibly frustrating time. You feel like no one is listening to you. Adults are always telling you what to do, and you never get to make any of your own decisions. So for Victor Torres of Albuquerque, New Mexico, this feeling is compounded by having a physical disability. He has cerebral palsy. It's a permanent disorder of the development of movement and posture. Though cerebral palsy can limit someone's speech and physical ability, it has no effect on a person's mental capacity. This interview chronicles how Victor was treated at his school, ignored by teachers and administrators, and then incorrectly assessed as having a subpar reading level. In this story, Victor, along with his lawyers, recounts his struggle at the middle school he attended and how he fought for equal opportunities and accommodations for all students with disabilities who would attend the school in the future. This is Victor's Victory, an interview by Taylor Griffin for KUNM Youth Radio.
Hello, I'm Taylor Griffin with the KUNM Youth Radio Project, and today we're talking about disability rights with our very own blogger and avid reader, Victor Torres, as well as his attorneys, Gail Stewart and Tara Ford. Welcome, you guys.
Thank you
for being here today. So I just want to start off by asking you, can you tell us a little bit more about yourselves?
Well, I'm Victor. I'm 17 years old. Like you said, I'm a blogger here at Youth Radio and also a personal blogger for my own blog site. And I'm an avid reader. As you said, I read a lot and I like to write and I like working with media.
So, Victor, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and why you might need the accommodations?
I need the accommodations because I have cerebral palsy and I'm in a wheelchair. It's mostly a physical disability, and you know, there's just some accommodations that I need with just accessible places for my wheelchair, and just there's other accommodations for my learning, like reduced homework because I get fatigued right away because of my disability and things like that. So those are some of the reasons why I need accommodations.
Thank you, Victor.
I'm Tara Ford. I work at Pegasus Legal Services for Children, and we provide legal services to children, youth, and their caregivers here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and somewhat across the whole state. And I also really love to read, and I have four girls, and I've lived in New Mexico for about 20 years.
Thank you, Tara.
And I'm Gail Stewart, and I'm the third love-to-read person in this group, fourth. And I practice law in Albuquerque, and I have since I graduated from the University of New Mexico Law School in 1983. In about the last 10 years, I have focused my practice on representing young people in matters concerning their public education. And I've tended to focus on work with students who have disabilities in the public schools. And I work a lot with Tara Ford, and I have known Victor for about 4 years, and I'm really glad to be here. Thanks.
Thank you, Gail. I appreciate it. So now that we know a little bit about each other, I just want to start off by asking you specifically, Victor, can you share your experience with us?
I was in middle school in Albuquerque. I wasn't getting my rights, and it was simple rights like equal access, they didn't have buttons on the doors until I almost left. Some places weren't accessible, they didn't have ramps. And also just my academics weren't up to standards with what grade level I was in. I took world history for 3 years. And instead of taking all the required classes you're supposed to take. And so I had to remake those later on in my academic career. But just stuff like that wasn't going well, and the communication was really bad between the school and my family as well. So that's a little bit of what happened.
Gail and Tara, how was it different for you as attorneys dealing with Victor's case specifically?
Well, let me start. This is Gail, and I was the first between Tara and me, the first person to meet Victor. And the way we met was that Victor called me directly, which was very unusual to receive a call from a student. Usually I receive calls from parents. So I knew right away that that Victor wasn't a particularly brave and mature individual to be looking out for his rights in middle school. You don't see that as often, maybe even with high school students. So that was very impressive, and that was an exciting moment to meet somebody that I knew right away, born advocate. Very exciting.
Thank you.
The other thing, let me just tell you. So when I went to meet Victor at his home, I saw the book he was reading, which was a novel by one of the people that writes a lot of lawyer novels. I can't think right now. Do you remember, Victor?
John Grisham.
A very big book, 600 pages. I saw the paper back there. We talked about it a little bit. We talked about his educational problems. When I went home to study the problems he was having with schools, not his educational problems. When I went home to study his school papers, the school was giving him accommodations saying he had a reading disability. And Victor didn't have any kind of reading disability. There were wrong assumptions being made about Victor's academic strengths based on people's observation of a physical disability. And I can't tell you, even though I do this work, how strongly impacted I was by saying, oh my gosh, he's been cheated. He is a great reader, and people were assuming that he did not read well. So I'll defer to Tara and Victor.
Well, I think I can pick up from that, because what I really saw was that Victor was courageous in the face of what Gail's talking about, which is people interrupting him when we were having meetings about what he needed, people not listening to him. And he just persisted with this incredibly gentle, calm, strong voice to say, look, this is what I need, and I need you to listen to me. And, you know, I think what I've really seen working with Victor even since is that he is so generous with the rest of us in terms of helping all of us understand how to be better people and how to make sure that we're respectful. And he actually was incredibly generous in terms of giving time to work with me on a video to help lawyers understand how important it is not to make assumptions about persons with disabilities, and to really listen to what their clients might need in terms of accommodations and modifications. And when we showed the video at the end of the presentation, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of New Mexico came up and congratulated Victor, because he's just a powerful voice.
Well, thank you both. And without you guys, I would have never gotten where I was today. You guys added a really powerful voice to mine, and I can never thank you enough in all my life. So thank you guys for all your help.
I really think this is a powerful moment. This is really what social justice is about, this intergenerational connection and unity, and encouraging students my age, me and Victor's age, and other students, that it's okay to reach out to your elders in the community, that they're there to support you and they're there to help you. So thank you for this, and I'm glad I'm able to share this with you. Victor, what would you say to students like us who are afraid to reach out to our elders and who are afraid to, you know, voice their opinion?
I would tell them that it is scary at first. It was scary for me, because sometimes you feel like you're pushed down and you're pushed down and you don't have no voice at all. And I got to a point where I said, you know, my whole life is not going to be what I want it to be if I don't get the help. And so I kind of meant to say I do need the help, and I have to find the right people. I mean, before Tara and Gail, there was teachers in my life that helped me, but I would say just express yourself. Just don't be scared. Just find a way to do it. And I know it could be hard sometimes, but you have to. To lead your life, and I mean, we're human beings too, and that's just something we do. So I would say, don't be scared, try your hardest, and just lead your life to the best you can, and don't let anybody push you down.
So then, Victor, If this was, you said it was your last year leaving middle school, why then did you decide to stand up and voice your opinion, take legal action?
I took legal action because I didn't want to have other youth go through the same thing I did. I wanted them to focus on their academic career, not have to focus on anything else. And it's a real burden to have to deal with that. And it took a lot of time away from my days. And I even remember writing a letter before the legal action took place to the principal where I was supposed to be learning English because the English teacher thought it was so important that I do that. So it's just a burden. And I just hope that young people can get their education and have everything accessible and ready for them to learn in a manner that's good, just like everybody has a right to an education. So that's why I did it, because basically I didn't want to have other youth go through the same thing.
Gail and Tara, is there anything you would add to what Victor said about encouraging students who are afraid to speak up?
Well, I think the law on the best days is about fairness. So I think students pretty much at every level need to be concerned about fairness. And when they see unfairness to those around them or to themselves, I really think school is one of the most appropriate times to play that out and to start learning how to create fairness in the world. So I would encourage students to advocate for themselves, to advocate for those around them, to speak out against unfairness. And, you know, Victor was a tremendous example, and I think when he was concerned about those who came after him, and you're talking about reaching out to different generations, you know, that is critical, because we can all give each other strength from our experience. And Victor forged some trails in Albuquerque Public Schools, and he has made a difference for other students.
So can you both tell us what happened after Victor came to you and after he initiated this action?
Well, so Victor initiated it, and then we worked as a team to structure what the issues, what the practical issues were that Victor experienced daily in school, what roadblocks he'd had, tried to analyze those for solution, what would help Victor, what could change that would make his educational life different, and then we'd match that to the law. So there's a federal law called the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act that provides access to public education for students with disabilities. The law has been around for over 30 years. And we had to structure Victor's issues to match up to that law, to explain to the school district how they were violating Victor's civil rights by the way they were mistreating him during the day-to-day education. And I just want to emphasize Victor's identification and description and detail about what he experienced is actually the key to any legal action. So his ability to articulate and be really accurate was what made a strong legal action.
And I just want to add, after I called Gail and we met, I had told some people in the school and not many. And but we just went through this whole process, and it was a long, hard process. And some days, it wasn't at my best. It was tiring, but I kept on going because I knew it was important. So I just wanted to add that.
And the thing that I would add is that in the context of trying to resolve the issues, we had meetings with school people, and those meetings can be really uncomfortable for everybody because you're working through conflict. And, you know, again, Victor was incredibly brave about staying on point and trying to make sure that he was able to help them understand what he needed, despite the fact that it was uncomfortable.
And I just like to say, the school was difficult to work with. But when it came down to a meeting, I believe there was really a strong wanting to help me after all the difficulties. I saw it in the principal, and she really wanted to try to resolve it and get me the help I needed. So I think it was a really strong meeting that we had to resolve the issues.
I think that's always great that you can push forward, keep moving forward, and make it through, to know that the struggle doesn't last always. And in the end, you do come out victorious when you put all your effort and all your hard work into it. Victor, has this encourage you to be more active?
Yes, and since joining the Youth Radio Project, I have learned many things. You know, I knew there was always injustices in the system. I didn't know much about them. And I've learned so much, and there's so many other causes, and there's so many other injustices, and, you know, it's good to work with all of them, you know. My passion is disability work, but there's so many others that need to help out there, and with youth, with anybody, and so we all deserve equal rights in this country, and I think it's very important to work on other causes, and I'm glad to be with Youth Radio to be able to express my voice and learn about the issues important to the community.
I totally agree, and I think that you inspire others, not just because you have a disability, but because you are able to, at such a young age, take a stand against something you believe in. Most people are timid and afraid to voice their opinion, and I think a person like you really acts as a role model, not to just older people, but to your peers as well. So with that, is there anything that you or Gail or Tara, as attorneys, have you experienced any other cases like Victor's, or has this encouraged you in any way to reach out further to children with disabilities?
Well, you know, both Gail and I spend an awful lot of our time trying to think about how to do even a better job trying to make sure that we explain what we hear from our clients who are children with disabilities and their families. You know, I feel incredibly lucky every day that I have the job I have, that I get to meet amazing people and see this amazing breadth of humanity. And it makes me feel so fulfilled to be able to realize that, you know, we have a lot of differences in the world and in between us as people, and it can really make us all so much richer. And it opens me up to be a better person myself, to realize that, you know, what it means to be human is a very big question. So I think the thing that I would say in the answer to your question is that it feels to me really important to try and find ways to help people in our communities understand that differences are wonderful, and that we need to be really careful that we're not discriminating based on assumptions about different disabilities, because we're missing the person when we do that.
And I guess I would just like to encourage your audience listeners to take their education rights seriously and realize that if they're looking around them and they're seeing some kids in their school having access to classes and they're not having access to classes, or homework and they're not getting homework or whatever, I mean, getting a serious education is a really good leaping off point for your adult life. And all kids in this community and across the state should have access to a serious education where they're taken seriously, and their you know, right to acquire knowledge and experience and skills is taken seriously. And, you know, don't suffer a dumbed-down education, I would say to your listeners. It's really important that you receive the same educational rights as anybody else in the state.
And I also want to add to speak up. And if you even see somebody else having difficulties in their school, still speak up. It's very important. I also want to let youth know that they do have resources, especially youth with disabilities, but all youth. If they have a problem, they have resources, whatever your problem is, and I want to express that. And it's very important to use the resources and to speak up. And so that's one of the main things I want to express is speak up. You do have resources, you do have rights, and you deserve to get those rights no matter what.
You've really inspired me to understand that really standing up and accepting who you are and knowing what you want and what you deserve and what's fundamentally yours is important. So with that, is there anything else you'd like to add?
I'd just like to, again, thank Tara and Gail for all their hard work, not only in my case, but in everyone else's. And I'd like to thank my mom and my sister, because when I was going through this, they stuck with me and they they just fought the battle with me, and so did the rest of my family. And I really want to thank Ann Miller, that one special teacher who kind of made this possible, and she really did open up her eyes, and she's still there for me from this day on. So I just like to thank her as well for being that one special teacher and helping me. No matter where she worked or what she did, she still continues to be there. So I just like to thank her as well. And you've been a great interviewer today. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anything else you guys like to add?
No, it's just, it's a great to be here, and thanks for letting us have this afternoon.
It's a great honor. Thanks a lot, Taylor.
Just on closing remarks, Vic, I understand our listeners can't see it out there, but you're wearing an amazing shirt today. Can you please describe it just for us a little bit and tell us what it means?
Well, the teacher I was just talking about, at the end of my legal action, at the end of my eighth grade year, she first asked me what size I wore. I didn't know what it was for, and so I told her. And she wouldn't have bought me the shirt, and she's an English teacher, and so she put the definition of my name on it, and the definition of my name just says, "You're the winner in a struggle." And so that was really powerful to what I did throughout that year. And I chose it. It's just a shirt, but I chose it. I had it for 4 years. And it doesn't just describe me. It describes all the winners and all the battles and struggles. So that's what this shirt I'm wearing today. And I wore it just for today. I had it, worn it for a long time. And I thought today was the right day to wear it.
Thank you, Victor. Thank you, Gail. And thank you, Tara.
That was Victor's Victory, an interview by KUNM Youth Radio programmer Taylor Griffin of KUNM Youth Radio blogger Victor Torres. Also at this interview were his attorneys, Gail Stewart of the Stephen Granberg and Gail Stewart Law Firm, and Tara Ford, the co-director of Pegasus Legal Services for Children. KUNM Youth Radio is actually more like KUNM Youth Media. They make videos and blog, as well as program an hour on KUNM Albuquerque every Sunday night at 7 Mountain Time, so you can stream it online. Head over to their Facebook page to find all this other material. Search KUNM Youth Radio, and you'll find it. And of course, while you're there, find a YouthCast on Facebook and quote-unquote like us as well. Also check out our blog at youthcast.org. It's where all the cool older episodes hang out, wearing tight jeans and sunglasses. So be cool. Hang out with them. YouthCast is a project of Generation PRX. Generation PRX is a website devoted to supporting, connecting, and distributing youth-produced media. Check it out at generationprx.org. This has been Molly Adams for YouthCast, where radio makes you wish you were young again. Talk to you soon.